Our second New Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I have to admit, yesterday afternoon, I wasn't feeling very well. My daughters had a virus for most of the week, and yesterday, after I returned from my nephew's t-ball game, I spiked a fever. I was nervous I wasn't going to be able to preach this morning, so I reached out to Phil, who graciously agreed to come up with something to say to all of you in the short amount of time he had left. There's probably nothing worse than being told out of nowhere that you have to preach in less than 24 hours.
Thanks be to God.
I'm feeling better, thanks be to God, but I was really bummed that I might not be able to preach on Pentecost Sunday. And while I like to say it's because I really love Pentecost, the truer truth is that I didn't want to miss the one time a year that we get to use red pyramids. This stole hangs behind all the other stoles that I own 51 weeks a year, but on Pentecost, it makes its way to the front. I shake off its dust and it gets its turn. After almost a year of rotating between green, purple, and white, I didn't want to miss this one Sunday where I get to wear red. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pentecost is the Sunday, 50 days after Easter, where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It marks the birth of the church. Now, typically, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of a dove. In fact, if you were to Google Holy Spirit, images that would pull up would be of doves. Now, this is because when Jesus was baptized, we are told that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. The dove is an emblem of purity and harmlessness. The form of a dove at Jesus' baptism signified that the spirit with which Jesus was endowed was one of holiness and innocence. Now, you may recall a dove also appears in the story of the flood and Noah's Ark in Genesis. When the earth had been covered with water for some time, Noah wanted to check to see if there was any dry land anywhere, so he sent out a dove from the ark, and the dove came back with an olive branch in her beak. Since that time, the dove and olive branch have been symbols of peace. Symbolically, the story of Noah's dove tells us that God declared peace with humankind after the flood had purged the earth of its wickedness. The dove represented God's spirit, bringing the good news of the reconciliation of God and humankind. How lovely, right? And yet, when it comes to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit isn't depicted like a dove at all. The story we just read doesn't sound like peace or harmlessness. In fact, it sounds an awful lot like chaos and terror. We celebrate Pentecost as the birthday of the church, but in some ways that just feels overly sentimental and a little misleading, because let's be honest, the truth is it's not actually a very quaint story. The story opens, and the disciples have isolated themselves again, all together in one place. After Jesus ascends into heaven and tells the disciples to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they immediately return to Jerusalem and head to the upper room, the same place where they not long ago hid behind closed doors after Jesus' death and resurrection, out of fear and anticipation of what was to come. So it's no wonder to us then that they once again gathered all together in that upper room, the place that seemed to provide them with some sense of comfort when everything else in their lives seemed uncertain, when they were full of worry and concern over what this Holy Spirit was, what it meant to be baptized by it, and what exactly it meant for their futures. I am sure that many of us, in one way or another, can relate to these first century disciples. When our own future seems so unsure, when we cannot sense Jesus' presence among us, when we just have no clue what God is calling of us or how our lives and relationships might change if we were to respond to that calling, we too rush to places and people that seem comfortable to us and shut the doors to keep anything else out that might shake us up a bit. In fact, Cox Chapel may be a little like that for us, a sanctuary, a safe place, a haven from the unknown, somewhere where we feel comfortable, where we can escape the fears and anticipation of what is to come. But maybe after today's story, we should rethink our comfort here. You see, for these first century disciples, it is in this moment when they begin to feel comfortable again as they are gathered together behind those closed doors in their own chapel that the Holy Spirit shows up. And the text is pretty clear. She doesn't just show up in the way she sometimes appears to her beloved ones, in her quiet and gentle manner, like a dove descending in peace, marking innocence and harmlessness. Like a calm summer breeze blowing through the trees and slowly touching and transforming those in her path. No. Instead, on the day of Pentecost, she came unexpectedly, loudly and boldly, sweeping through the house, not like a summer breeze, but like a sudden cold blizzard wind roaring through the space, knocking the disciples off their feet and pulling them out of their comfort zones. Pentecost was not a kumbaya moment. In the words of Nadia Bolz-Weber, it was a pentachaos. The Holy Spirit brought about divided tongues and fire. She poured herself out onto all who were present, filling them, empowering them, and lighting their hearts on fire. And out of nowhere, by her power, these uneducated disciples from the back skirts of Galilee began to speak in languages they had never spoken before about the deeds and the power of God. And the noise was so loud and the wind and fire so powerful that the pilgrims from many nations wandering about in the Jerusalem streets outside those closed doors to the upper room heard and understood in their own native tongues what these uneducated Galileans were saying, and they were both amazed and perplexed. Some overwhelmed with God's power, and others a little critical and maybe accusatory. Now, I don't know about you, but all of that sounds a little frightening to me. I much prefer the Holy Spirit to meet me in the form of a dove, to provide me with comfort and peace. You see, I prefer order. It's why I love to lead this service. There's comfort in our rituals and our repetition. If the Holy Spirit were to rush through these doors and descend like fire upon us, well, that just sounds terrifying and inconvenient because it would really disrupt the order of our liturgy. And yet, as terrifying as it sounds, I think this is exactly what we need. And I don't mean a Sunday where we can wear red once a year. I mean a sweeping in of the Holy Spirit, which takes us out of our comfort zones and moves us out of those places we cling to when we fear the unknown and try to avoid the pain and injustice around us. Because in the end, it's not only the birth of the church we celebrate, it's the birth of us, all of us, as prophets of God's truth. You see, as the story continues, Peter, the same one who had lacked confidence when Jesus called him to walk on water, the same one who cowardly denied Jesus 3 times before his crucifixion on the cross, boldly stood up and by the power of the Holy Spirit raised his voice and began to speak the words of the prophet Joel, proclaiming that the Spirit would be poured out onto all of God's people, both male and female, young and old, slave and free, that the Spirit would empower and equip all of the people of God to be prophets, no matter who they are, where they're from, what language they speak, no matter their circumstances. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be recipients of the Spirit equipped to be prophets? Well, for starters, a prophet is one who visions, who imagines. You see, it is the vocation of the prophet to keep alive the ministry of imagination, to keep on conjuring and proposing futures alternative to the world we live in. Surrounded by a befuddled crowd of onlookers, Peter explains what has happened as the birth of a community with a new prophetic imagination, a community defined by its alternative approach to reality, a community in opposition to empire, a community of visionaries and dreamers who are invited to paint a picture of what the world could be for a humanity in need of some Spirit-filled inspiration. This is what we do, don't you know? We, as recipients of the Holy Spirit, celebrate not just the birth of the church, but the birth of the prophetic imagination. We are Spirit-filled visionaries. And I don't mean that we close our eyes to the injustice, the pain, the suffering of the world. I mean we see it. We acknowledge that the world is indeed groaning for redemption. And then we envision and preach the kingdom of God. You see, despite all the brokenness that we see, Pentecost is about giving us the eyes to see that there is more to see. And my friends, don't you know that this kind of visioning possesses dangerous and revolutionary potential? You know, Martin Luther King Jr. is recognized for summoning a paralyzed community to move beyond the imperial definitions of their day. I Have a Dream was just such a summons. His visioning of a different future helped to change reality. It began to crack open, and a homecoming to a more just dispensation became possible. So, you see, we as Spirit-filled Christians have a responsibility to invite a reimagination of reality. We must abandon the dominant script that all hope is gone and embrace another script in which God is our liberator, where hope rises, kindness rises, love rises. Walter Brueggemann puts it like this: human transformation does not come through didacticism, but through the playful entertainment of another scripting of reality that may subvert the old given text and lead to a new reality. So may the Holy Spirit come upon us like fire, creating chaos where we try so hard to keep order, because we need to dream again. We need to envision an alternative reality to the one we find ourselves in. God has a dream for our world, and we must be willing to live and to speak in the space that exists between what is and what can be, between what we see and what is to be seen. This is Pentecost.